We'd studied a little bit in the book of Exodus last week, and we may kind of stick with that a little bit. Exodus chapter 19, this would be just before the Ten Commandments be given in chapter 20, but we may learn a little bit more about this time. And like I said, kind of what got her mind and her study on this was we've seen several times where Moses would go up and then he was sent back down. And he'd go back up Mount Sinai and he'd come back down. And so we may just kind of hit on some of that. But as we're seeing how many multiple times that he may have went up and down that mountain, I believe that that the Lord was guiding that, and that he just had to be submissive in that way and couldn't go up when he wasn't supposed to and didn't go down when he wasn't supposed to, all of that type stuff. But we're in Exodus chapter 19 and 1, and we may just read a little bit, and you all feel free to weigh in. But in the third month, when the children of Israel gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. So they were all around down at the base, if you will, and they were camped around the mount. And it said that they had pitched. Basically, they were setting up their homestead there, if you will, for a little bit of time, and their and said, and there Israel camped before the mount. And then in a third, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. So God's telling him, hey, that as Moses went up, and then God tells him to speak on this. He said, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. So that peculiar people notation, it's actually better maybe understood in our terms today, it's more of God's personal possession is how that he looks at that. So personal property, Israel was God's personal possession. So if you look over in Psalms 135 and 4, we'll just kind of reiterate that. It says, picked up the wrong one. 135 and 4, it says, For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. So written as the psalmist, just as it was mentioned there in Exodus, that if they would, I said, indeed if you'll obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure. So just thought that was interesting. Anybody got any thoughts on any of that? But God loved Israel, and he was faithful to the promise that he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's what's being talked about here. But just like what we'll read a lot in the Old Testament, is they must obey his voice, and it says, keep my covenant. So that's some of the things that they were directed to do. That covenant, we'll read more about more covenants right after, before and after this, these Ten Commandments. And as we get through chapter 24 and 25, we'll see more about that as we go. But definitely covenants were made. They knew what they were agreeing to, and it was up to them to keep that as best they could, not for salvation, but because God had told them to. We recognize salvation was through faith, just as Abraham had received it. It was through faith. So we don't want to get any of that mixed up. So I just felt like we need to say that as well. But if you, those that fear the Lord become His peculiar treasure that He would never forget. And we can see in Titus, if you want to flip over there to the book of Titus, chapter 2, that'd be past 1 and 2 Timothy, if you're finding that in your Bible, but Titus chapter 2, 11 through 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. And that was just a notation of the salvation that we expect to be through faith and not through keeping of the law. But the law was our schoolmaster. You've heard that said, and if you want to find that in the verses, you go to Galatians chapter 3. I know we're doing a lot of bouncing around this morning, but trying to separate and discern the reasoning for the law and what it was all about. But Galatians 3, 24 through 26. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So again, just wanted to get that portion out there and make sure we're all of that understanding. Any thoughts at all on any of that? We'll pick back up in Exodus 19 and 6. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken me will do. And Moses returned of the words of the people unto the Lord. So Moses had came down, spoke to the elders, and he told them what God had told him. And then after he told them that, then they said that they agreed, and Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. So Moses went back to the Lord, and he's that mediator, isn't he? He's that one in between, speaking on behalf of the people here, going back to the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. So the Lord said, I'm going to come as this thick cloud, and it's going to be evidence, Moses, that they should believe me forever. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. So he's giving them very explicit instructions not to come until he tells them to come. And Moses went down from the mount. So now Moses is coming back down. Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. So just hearing all of that, it scared all the people. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. So I believe that to take it as the lower part down at the nether part there. So they were down at the bottom, or towards the bottom, but still considered to be on the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. So I'd actually, y'all ever get on Google Earth? You can get on Google Earth today and you could get an image down on what they call Mount Sinai, which is of this mount on this peninsula coming out of Egypt up into what we would say would be Canaan. And on top of these mounts, it's the tops of the rocks are charred black. You still see that to this day. And there's a YouTube page where an individual went up there and they could flip these rocks over, and the bottom side of these rocks are reddish colored, but yet the tops of these rocks are all blackened like that. Yeah. To me, if that ain't speaking of this fire that would have came down, there's evidence. Every time some want to discard this from being historical evidence, it's one of the most accurate historical writings to have ever taken place. And you can still find evidence today from these things that can be found in God's Word and be listed and be there physically seen today. That's pretty doggone cool in my book. That's pretty cool. Anybody seen anything like that? Or had you? I hadn't seen that. I don't know. I just popped up. Any thoughts on
Amen. Several things about those areas.
Wow.
I'd have to let him explain it.
Amen. And he's been over there a time or two, hadn't he? And so, maybe even physically seen it with his own eyes.
One area that they won't let you in, I think he was trying to explain, it's been fenced off for, generations. Hmm.
Yeah, I think there's that, and this being part of down around Egypt and whatnot, it is one of the less studied for archaeological purposes places in the world for that reason. And there's not been a lot of that work done there, just because they don't want to share that information. But it's pretty cool when we can see some of this stuff. Anybody else got any thoughts on any of that? So it said that, where'd we get to? There in the 19th. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up. So now Moses is heading back up. I tell you, like I said last week, he's a mountain man. I'm convinced of that. He spent quite a bit of time going up and down that thing. And called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down. Wow, what about that? So I don't think that he immediately turned around, but he's letting him know that, hey, you're fixing to be heading back down. And he's going to tell him why that he's going back down. But he calls him up just to say, okay, now, go down and charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. Well, we had just read over there, backing up, I guess, to we're somewhere in the 12th. Yeah, if you go back to the 12th, and thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed of yourselves that ye go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death. So God had already told them that. And then Moses had went down in the 14th and he'd sanctified the people. And he's feeling like they all know these things, that they shouldn't go up. But he's now been called back up to the mountain, and God is saying, now you go down there and you charge these people. You make sure they know not to come up until I'd call them. And he said, and the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. So I believe that to be because God already knows man's nature. He already knows these people. He And he knows people just like me and you sitting here today. We can't point the finger at them. How many times does he tell us to do something, and then he's got to come back and tell you later, hey, I told you, don't you do it. Don't you do it. And that's kind of what the way I'm seeing that's took place. And in the 22nd, and let the priest also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mountain, sanctify it. So Moses is saying, hey, you've already told them not to come up. They know they're not supposed to. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. So the last direction we see there is Moses has come back down, and he's been told, tell everybody to stay down, and you and Aaron come back up. Now, the only reason why, I guess in my mind, when Moses would be given these Ten Commandments, I had in my mind he was up there all by himself getting these Ten Commandments. Now, they're all still on the mount. I'm not saying that. I just don't see him being at the peak of the mountain by himself. I see he's been told to come back down the mountain. And now, what's it say in the 20th? And God spake all these words, saying, and as we go through that, this is God speaking now, as he's speaking to Moses that is already back down the mountain with them, and he's going to give them these Ten Commandments. So I still say he's on Mount Sinai where these commandments are given. We see that he'd been up directly with the Lord and down, back up with the Lord and back down, and now I believe him to be down with them when these Ten Commandments are given. If you look at Deuteronomy 5 and chapter 5, maybe 1 through 5, this is the account of the Ten Commandments given as well. Yeah, 5, 1 through 5. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, hear, O Israel, the status and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. And the Lord our God made a covenant with us in Oreb. Now just keeping that in mind that Mount Sinai and Mount Oreb are the same thing. They are of the same mountain region there. And the Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. And in the fourth, the Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. And what's it say there in the fifth? I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid by reason of the fire and went not up into the mount, saying. So he's saying when these Ten Commandments was given, he's standing in between God and the people. They are still on the mount, but it's just not Moses up there by himself when these Ten Commandments are given. I don't know that that's a big deal other than me just trying to get it arranged in my head. That may be all it amounts to. But like I said, we've seen Moses going up and down there a few times, but now he's down there with the people, still on the mount, just not at the top. And then that's when these Ten Commandments are given. And if you look in chapter 20, and 1, like we said, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And now in verse 3 would be your first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And the second one would be in the fourth verse, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. So the first two is what is soon going to be broke before Moses can get back up that mountain again with Aaron And then they can get it all sorted out, and then God tells him, get back down there. They're making idols. But somewhere in that, Aaron went up with him. He comes back down and stays, and then Moses goes back up. So there's several more trips there's at least two more trips that Moses is going to go back up that mountain and back down and back up before he's actually given the first set of tablets. Well, I think, we got at least 4 to 5 trips now that he's been up and down that mountain that we can see here. Any thoughts on any of that? But reading in the 5th verse, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon their children unto the 3rd and 4th generation of them that hate me. And the 6th, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And then the 3rd commandment being in the 7th verse, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Something I didn't know for a long time is when somebody says you've taken the Lord's name in vain, that's not only used as the cuss word that you think of. When you think of his name being taken in vain, what's another word? I'm searching for the definition for vain. It emptiness, something along those lines. Brethren, any of y'all got a quick definition on that? But when you take that, even if you're one that says, oh my gee, is that not just as empty as spilling out his name for emptiness, for uselessness? Even in that, you could argue the fact that that is of emptiness. You could argue the fact that that is of vanity. That's in vain. Was you able to search that, brother, and see what you...
Desolation, emptiness, falsehood, or worthlessness.
Or that.
I heard another person mention, and I don't know that I could argue with them, that to claim to believe the word of the Lord and to represent the Lord and to be the Lord's and to be anything but would also be.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. But just... You know, just one of them things that we need to remember.
The thought comes to me that you use it irresponsible. You know, you're using it in the wrong way.
Amen. Well.
There's a son down there at Lebanon. I pass it every Friday. Take me kids with there. And I look at it. Every time I pass it, and I'm like, how could you even? It says, for the Lord's sake, no rock quarry. And I'm like, for the Lord's sake, no rock quarry. How do you even put that in a sentence? Like, for the Lord's sake, no rock quarry. Like, okay.
Not sure he's chose a side on that. Is that what you're thinking?
Like, if that's not using the Lord's name in vain, like, how empty is that to use his name?
Amen.
It's about a 5-foot tall sign.
Yeah, it's humongous.
Amen. Good point. But it certainly feels like I can kind of get the feel you've got that you believe that to be of emptiness. You believe that to be in vain. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. You telling me, I feel the same way. But most folks don't realize that is what, that's one of the commandments. Absolutely. And in the 4th commandment in the 8th verse, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In the 9th verse, it says, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all the work. So what you're going to read 9 through 11 is pertaining to the 4th commandment, or from 8 through 11. So in the 10th, but the 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all of them, or all that in them is, and rested the 7th day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And the fifth, or the 12th verse, is the fifth commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And the 13th would be the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. The 14th is the seventh, thou shalt not commit adultery. The 15th is the eighth, thou shalt not steal. 16th is the ninth, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And 17th is the 10th, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor his anything that is in thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightning. Notice this, when he's talking about in the 18th, he said, all the people saw the thunderings and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. So when they seen this, and it said, and they said unto Moses, speak thou with us and we will hear. So again, I think with that verse is supporting, Moses is there with them when these Ten Commandments are given to him. He's not separated from them. He's standing in between the people and God. Any thoughts on any of that? So, in the 20th, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, and that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon my burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen, in all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. So all of that would be talked about. We'll get into to next week when all of that then is brought down, and all the people then would agree to what he's told. And then after that, Moses is going to go back up the mountain again. So, like I said, we're just kind of working on understanding maybe how many trips Moses may have went up and down this mountain, but he's earning his steps for the Lord, that's for sure. Any thoughts? If nothing else, we'll consider self-dismissed this morning. Be time to see some summer neighbors coming in.